The greatest of all things is love. The greatest, says the Apostle Paul, agreed upon by the world's greatest thinkers, artists, and poets. Love is best. The Bible book 1 Corinthians 13 is Paul's finest expressions of love by far. To really know what love is, says Paul, can only occur as a result of a meaningful, loving relationship with God. The longer, the deeper the relationship, the more the meaning of love becomes clear. Love is good. In fact, good is defined by love. For no mere mortal can do good without love. One may intend to live right, perhaps following the Ten Commandments and other great moral precepts, but mere intention, the act of the will, is not enough, for it lacks the energy, the conviction, the power of love. There really is no definition of love, that is, no simple one. Words like affection, attachment, emotion, even ultimate feelings are seemingly inadequate. So Paul says, let's begin by defining love as patient. Love is long-suffering because love is eternal. Then Paul says, love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is easy. It avoids meaningless confrontation and struggle. Love thinks on those things which are good in gentle ways. There is no such thing as gentle or kind without love. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way. A loving person, on the other hand, is giving, open, caring. These standards are extremely high and virtually impossible for any human being to accomplish, as Paul says, without the love of God. Love even allows us not to take account of the wrongs or evil done to us by others. Boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? Love even allows us to love an enemy rather than to seek vengeance. We can lovingly forgive even as a loving God forgave us. Love rejoices when right and truth prevail. Ah, how wonderful and joyful it is to lovingly live in truth at all times. For to know the truth of love is to be set free, and it allows us to live a life rejoicing and praising. And love protects and defends. It guards the hearts and the minds of the young. It trains up children in the way in which they should go. It shows them the way of the Lord, the path of righteousness. Ah, how necessary that is today. Love is loyal, says Paul. Love is trustworthy and trusting. Real love, says Paul, always hopes for the best, especially the best in others. Love at work creates belief that all things will work together for good for those who love each other, and especially those who love God. And that, says Paul, is an absolute truth. It's absolute, for love never fails. It endures now and for all eternity. It overcomes the greatest evils in this world, which combined can never destroy love. Ah, there's so much hatred in our world, so much violence, killing, and death, so much evil at work. The remedy, the antidote, is not war. It's not guns. It's love. But the Apostle Paul, in his great treatise in 1 Corinthians 13, please read that. You should read it every day. It's such a blessing. Paul tells us again in 1 Corinthians 13 what love is not. Paul tells us that love is not talk, no matter how eloquent. Even the language of angels, even the words, I love you, those words are like sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, hollow and meaningless without real love. And Paul says that even the gift of prophecy, knowing the future, discerning the divine will and purpose without love, all of that means nothing. One cannot even give to the poor and find blessing without love. One cannot even be willing to die, offer a body to be burned, or lay down a life for another without love, for all such acts are meaningless without love. The Apostle Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians that love is not envious. Love is not jealous of others. Love desires the best for everyone. Love rejoices when the best things happen to other people. Love never craves or lusts. It is content, no matter the circumstances. And love is not controlling, says Paul. It lets go. It never holds on. Love never demands and always reasons with an open heart. Love is never possessive. Love is always ready to share, to give, and to understand. And love never boasts or brags. Love has no ego. Love wishes to be known and loved by God and not man. Love reminds that it is not about me, but about him. And Paul says love does not behave unseemly. Good behavior. Love allows one to live modestly, humbly, and joyfully. Love builds and sustains character. And love is not easily angered, says Paul. Not that one never gets angry. That's not what Paul is saying. We do. And sometimes there is righteous anger, which is justified. But that anger is slow to wrath. When one is possessed, consumed by love, that loving person cannot be easily provoked. And perhaps so very importantly, Paul reminds us that love does not keep any record of wrongs. But we the humans have such long memories, do we not? Especially when things go wrong, when we are wronged. But love, says Paul, keeps no record of those wrongs. Love holds no grudges, none whatsoever. No get-even factor. Don't we all have that? Love allows us to do good to those who persecute us, defame us, slander and abuse us. That, all of that, is real love. We are told that God is love. And the more of that love of God in our lives and in our hearts, the more we can live by love and in love. You and I, says Paul, we see things imperfectly. You know, like that image in a mirror. We see things imperfectly. We now understand imperfectly. But someday we will know when we see the source of all love face to face. Do you believe that? Do you believe that one day you will see God face to face? And then we shall know that perfect love which passes all understanding. To stand in the holy presence, the source of all love, is to know completely. What a day that will be. Love is a process, as is learning to love here and now. But love will be fully completed in the dawn of that eternal day. Praise the Lord. And finally, Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 13, please read it over and over again. 1 Corinthians 13, that there are three great things in life. Three. The very best of all things in this life. And they are faith and hope and love. No matter how important faith is, and it surely is, that is the conviction and belief with respect to man's relationship to God and divine things, love is greater. Love is greater than faith. And no matter how strong the force of hope, the joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation, and as important as that is, and it is, love is even greater. The greatest of all things is love. Love, that is, true affection for God and then for man. Affection growing out of God's love for and in us. Praise the Lord. The greatest of all things is love, because love never fails. We celebrate the love of Valentine's Day, and appropriately so. That loving celebration is fun, romantic, even emotional. It is a day set aside once to live love and to express our love to all, but especially so to someone special. To love and to be loved is the greatest happiness of existence, so said Sidney Smith. If you had no one to love, you would never be hurt, but you would never grow. You would never venture outside your own self and your own self-centered needs and perceptions. Your heart would never be cracked open, as one poet said, so that God could enter. To love and love unconditionally is to take risks, and especially the risk of rejection. But then again, nothing energizes and cleanses like love. And hear these profound words about love from a poet unknown. To love another, large or small, is the only real way that one can grow as a human being. Charles Dickens said that a loving heart is the truest wisdom. Robert Schuller said that in the presence of love, miracles happen. Benjamin Disraeli, the great English prime minister, said the following, "We are all born to love. It is the highest principle of our existence and its only end." Born to love, genetic, all that we really are, the very highest principle itself of existence, of us, of you and me. And really, says Disraeli, its only end. like the highest and greatest spiritual commandment that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart and our soul and mind and strength and our neighbors as ourselves. In fact, we are known as Christians, followers of the Christ, if we have love one for another. Do you? For all mankind? God says to us in love, I hold you in my mind. I remember you. I hold all of the pieces of you, the past wounds and the present. And in love, I knit them together. I knit them together into the person I love, the person I created to give me joy. You. You. Aren't they great words? Love frees us of the weight and the pain of life. True love always lightens life's heaviest burdens. True love is a force far more powerful than the weapons of any enemy. Amen to that. I would like to get that message out to ISIS, wouldn't you? Life is a flower of which love is the honey, so said Victor Hugo. Love is knit into the very cells of our bodies. It is written into our DNA. It is encoded in the chemicals that make plants green. It is that which makes the sky blue, the substance of the song of the birds in summer, the whisper of the wind in the trees, the silence of the snow as it falls. Love is the voice of God calling to us endlessly and passionately through all his marvelous creation. Ah, how wonderful and how powerful. There is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear. The more one loves, the less there is to be afraid of. Take away love, said Robert Browning, and our earth is a tomb. And if you wish to be loved, said Browning, love. To be loved is to love. And any time that is not spent on love is time wasted. True love is a durable fire in the mind, ever burning. Never sick, never old, never dead, from itself never turning. So said Sir Walter Raleigh. The great artist Vincent van Gogh said, the heart that loves is always young. Love is a marvelous beautifier. Love is art at work. I always think that the best way to know God is to love many things. Amen. So said the great artist Vincent van Gogh. Hear the words of Thomas Merton. He said, the beginning of love is to let those who love be perfectly themselves and not to twist them to fit our own image. Otherwise, we love only the reflection of ourselves we find in them. Love cures people, the ones who give it and the ones who receive it. Love conquers all things, so said the ancient poet Virgil. Love allows us to believe so fully and firmly in God, even when he is silent. The great thinker, theologian Soren Kierkegaard profoundly stated that when one has once fully entered the realm of love, the world, no matter how imperfect, becomes rich and beautiful. It consists solely of opportunities for love. Isn't that the truth? Every minute of every day, you can give love and you can experience it if you have eyes to see and an open, loving heart at work. It is love, said Thomas Mann, not reason that is stronger than death. And that love, stronger than and which conquers death, is the love of the Christ on the cross and the resurrection which followed. There is no greater love than that. To love someone is to see a miracle invisible to others, said Francois Mauriac. And if you love somebody, tell them, so said Rod McEwen. Or perhaps better yet, show them. But the telling of the loving words unleashes the energy and the power of love in another. So do it. The heart has its reasons, which reason alone cannot understand. So said the thinker Blaise Pascal. Love is a dimension in life different from and beyond reason itself. The more the mind, the less the heart, and consequently, the less love. Reason, no matter how wise, can never really fully understand love, much less transcend it. The great theologian Paul Tillich said that the first duty of love is to listen. Listening, really listening in a caring way may very well be the highest attribute of true love. For those who love, time is eternity. Love is God's finger on man's shoulder. Love is like a running brook that sings its melody to the night. To wake at dawn with a winged heart and to give thanks for another day of loving. Love is a symbol of eternity. In fact, it is eternity. It wipes out all sense of time, destroying all memory of a beginning and all fear of an end. Sir Alfred Lord Tennyson said the following, 'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Amen to that. Because love indeed is risky, the risk of rejection, but a life lived without true love is a life never really lived at all. Go for it. Open up your heart. I love you, says Anna Corbin, as you are, not as you wish to be, or I wish you to be. I love you for the real person you are, not the imaginary one perhaps I fantasize you could be. Isn't that wonderful? I love the real, amazing, utterly unique you. If you love until it hurts, really hurts, there can be no more hurt. Only more love, so said the wonderfully loving Mother Teresa. True love at work drives away the hurt, and then there is only love left. Looking back, said one poet, I have this to regret, that too often when I loved, I did not say so. Love uncommunicated is love aborted. It is there, but it's never shared. More time is spent judging people, which leaves less time to love them. Zelda Fitzgerald said that nobody has ever measured, not even poets, how much love the heart can hold. Love's greatest gift is its ability to make everything it touches sacred. Love at work produces the holiest of the holies. The great English statesman William E. Gladstone said the following, We look forward to the time when the power of love will replace the love of power. Then will our world know the blessings of peace. Power kills love, and without love, there is no peace. There is nothing more powerful before and ever again than love. The theologian Reinhold Niebuhr said the following, We are saved by the final form of love, which is forgiveness. Forgiving and forgetting are the highest acts of love, resulting in our salvation. There was one, years ago, driven to the cross by the love of mankind, providing in his death the life and the love we lead. The cross. The cross was the final and forgiving form of love. Amen to that. The crucifixion of the Christ on the cross was indeed the ultimate act of love. The great writer C.S. Lewis said the following, To love at all is to be vulnerable. Vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. Boy, has that happened to you? Love breaks down all barriers and it opens wide the heart, exposes true innocence, and risks the wringing and the breaking of this more prized possession. Real love demands this constantly. Sir Arthur Pinero said that those who love deeply never grow old. They may die of old age, but they die young at heart. They die young at heart with love. That deep love here and now is but a prelude to the perfect love there. There. In fact, they are one love, the love here and the love there, present and eternal, contiguous and continuous. Love is both earthly and eternal. Love never dies, never. For there is only one real happiness in life and the life to come, and that is to love and to be loved. The great writer Ralph Waldo Emerson said the following, Never self-possessed or prudent, love is all abandonment. Isn't that great? Hear then the marvelous words of the great poet William Wordsworth. A person can be so changed by love as to be unrecognizable as the same person. Love transforms, regenerates. Love produces change everywhere and in everyone. Love betters what is best. The great philosopher Plato said that love is the best friend of humankind, the helper and the healer of all ills that stand in the way of human happiness. Plato. Again from Plato, without love, humanity cannot survive. Wow. Powerful. Truth way back then in the days of Plato. And for some further real definition of the word love, hear the words of St. Augustine. He said, what does love look like? Why, it has hands to help others. It has feet to hasten to the poor and needy. It has eyes to see misery and want. It has ears to hear the sighs and sorrows of humankind. That is what love looks like. Amen and amen. But you know, my friends, love comes supreme and most innocently from a child. A child. A child's love is pure. It's uncomplicated, unconditional, fully trusting. Such innocence opens deep the world of feeling and emotion, and it is a return to that childlike love, no barriers, no defenses, and that ability to love which alone can make complete the adult version of that child. You could say that the more a child loves, the more the adult version will love. May we all be wise enough to return to the innocent love of a little child. And so, my friends, my fellow Americans, we, the Crawford Broadcasting Company, wish you all of the love possible on Valentine's Day and during Valentine's Week, during Love Week. May love in all its forms permeate your life, and may you know the supreme love of the one who laid down his life for you. Live love every day and know the real and true meaning of life. And finally, the profound words of poet Emily Dickinson. If I can stop one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. If I can ease one life the aching, or cool one pain, or help one fainting robin into his nest again, I shall not live in vain. Great words of love. Love is the greatest.